Jaguars Thursday. Former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli bring you expert insight and analysis of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Now to get things started, here's the host of Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick.
Here we go, Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli coming up from Cincinnati for Thursday Night Football. He's got the call on Westwood One Radio tonight. The Jags are coming home. What a week it's been. Three nights in Houston, two of those after the win in week one. And all the distraction, everything going on after the hurricane blew through Jacksonville. The players and coaches have been gone. They get a chance to come back and see where they live, and some of them don't have power, and just like a lot of other folks here in the Jacksonville area. But
yeah,
there's still football games.
Yeah, they're not unique. I mean, look, everybody's got some issues going on, and trying to get their home squared away, their life kind of back to normal as much as they can, and it's going to take some time for everything to get back to normal, but at least having a football game on Sunday kind of makes it feel getting back to normal.
Right, and that's the thing. There is still a football game this week, and just talking to Doug Marrone earlier in the show tonight, once you get to Wednesday, it is more of a normal football feel. After the 3 days in Houston, that's the scene is different. You're not really used to it. They worked the best they could at it. But once you get back here, Wednesday's the day you start looking ahead.
Yeah,
and back to normal.
I'm sure that the practice schedule, I'm sure that they kind of altered it a little bit because of when you're on the road for a couple of extra days or whatever, you're kind of not expecting to have to do that as part of the thing. You're not sleeping in your own bed. This routine is different. Not that anything was uncomfortable, because I think the Jaguars did a phenomenal job with their team as far as making sure that they kept everything as normal as possible as you could in a different city. The players still got treatment. They had facilities available to them. They worked out at the local YMCA.
Did you go with them?
I didn't.
Thought you would have been right there.
Well, the weight room at the hotel was actually incredible, by the way. they kept as normal a routine as possible. And a credit to a lot of the staff that the Jaguars have, from Hamza to Perk to Stober to Scott Truluck. These are people that are in the video department, the training staff department, the operations department. A tremendous job by all of them to keep things as kind of routine, as it could be.
The operations crew actually got game balls for the game.
And you know what? They should, man, because they did a great job. And then you come back and player's day off on Tuesday. And some were immediately right out in the community. And then Wednesday you get back to work. But things are different, I'm sure there are some guys that didn't have power yet, so they're going to stay at a hotel or whatever they need to do to get their bodies and minds right for the game. But, look, everybody's dealing with it. Everybody's got something different going on.
No doubt. Let's go to Cincinnati, Ohio. Thursday Night Football. The Bengals and the Texans. And on the call for Westwood One Radio tonight from the broadcast booth, it's the pride of the Jaguars left tackle, Tony Baselli. Good evening, Tony.
Good evening, guys. How's my hometown doing? I still haven't been home yet.
No. You didn't go home?
No. He went right from Houston.
Yep, because I was just worried about getting out Wednesday with all the flights. And then when I had to make the decision, the storm was going right to Atlanta. And, that airport, if you get storms and everything else. And I just figured better safe than sorry to get here to not go home.
Well, hey, look, we're getting back to normal, Tony. As normal as you can be, but it's definitely, boy, I mean, it's odd. I mean, you come back.
Yeah, there's certain parts that are still really struggling with the flooding, especially down in Clay County, down that way. It's rough in some areas.
Black Creek, places like that. Tremendous flooding. And, Tony, there's a lot of trees down around Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's what I've been told. A lot of people still without power, which is you just hate to see. It's hard to get back to normal when you don't have the things that we've become accustomed to, and power is obviously a big one, and then transportation and cleaning up the flood messes and everything else. And, Jeff, I know you're on the river. How did your property come through?
A lot of cleanup. River higher than I had ever seen it. I mean, it was unbelievable how high it got. And it's been high still. It's going to recede at some point, but look, I'm no different than anybody else. Everybody's got water to deal with and trees to deal with and cleanup to do, so it is what it is.
Is your dock still there, most
importantly? It's still there.
Wow.
That's all. That's, I was I can't believe I've never worried about someone else's dock more than I did about Log's dock.
Well, you know how important, you know, my dock is to my fishing life. And, yeah. I saw
the worry on your face, and it worried me.
Well, here's, I think, the best thing that happened is that the water got so high. I mean, the dock was like three and a half feet under the water. You know, so then you don't have the wave action pounding it and everything else, and had to have a small repair. Thank you to Mark Stanley at C&H Marine Construction hooking me up real quick with a small repair to make sure it didn't become a big problem. But, you know, look, it is what it is, and hopefully we get back. I can tell you one thing.
Yeah.
The amount of debris and things that are floating in the river, I'm talking like huge chunks of docks and trees and everything else. It's incredible.
Not a good time to be out.
Yeah, people
are
going to be. You have to be safe boating for a while throughout the river, aren't you, Jeff?
Big time.
All right, so it's back to football. We'll get to the Thursday night game coming up here in a little bit, Tony. You're in Cincinnati for the Texans and the Bengals, and I think all three of us know who we're going to pick in that ball game tonight. We'll get to that coming up in the third segment. We'll make our picks this week. And Bo, you did pretty well, even though you don't know it last week.
Well, I had faith in Joe Fortunato, so yeah. I made my guest picker, and he did a great job. I won last year. I'm the defending champ, and I plan on walking away with it again.
We'll see what happens. It is early. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Home opener this Sunday at Everbank Field. Jags played well, obviously, down in Houston to get it started. They get to come home. And let's be honest. I mean, the Jags haven't played well home or road the last few years. But you got to get these home games when you have them, especially when you only have one true game in Jacksonville the first, 7 weeks of the season, right? You got to get this game this week, Tony.
Oh, absolutely. And you're right. I mean, this team, the last 4 years before this one, had not, or even longer than that, had not played well, no matter where they suited up. But watching that game, and we didn't get to have the Monday night show, so we'll look back just real briefly in my comments, is that was the most physical I've seen them play on both sides of the ball. It wasn't perfect by any means, and no football games are. And there were missed blocks, missed opportunities, and some decisions that you might question. But the one thing that came across is how physical they played, especially on the offensive line. More physical than I've seen them play in a while. And if you play that style of football with a back like Leonard Fournette, mistake-free on offense, and the great defensive effort they got now against a very poor offensive line, but nevertheless, they did their job. You're going to win football games, and you're going to be in a lot of football games. And coming up this week, it's going to be an interesting game. It might be one of those games that takes about an hour and 30 minutes because both teams want to run the ball and play defense. And it's going to be who can enforce whose will on the other, and that's going to determine the outcome of the game.
Yeah, Tony, to kind of follow up with that on – specifically the offensive line, you know, I mean, those guys did a tremendous job. But if you look at the way that Cam Robinson played against some really good football players, because he saw essentially all three of those guys that are, you know, named players, and J.J. Watt and Merciless and also Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, for the first game out of the box, Tony, to face, you know, talented players like that, I thought he was tremendous. And his punch was stoning guys in their tracks at times.
Yeah, he did great. He played very well. He was physical. He got after people. He played with an edge. Jeff, I don't know about you. I was a little bit surprised because the majority of the time he matched up against Clowney, and then second would have been J.J. Watt after that. Very few reps against Whitney Merciless, and I would have thought the Houston Texans, after watching the preseason and just seeing who Cam Robinson is, the size that he has, I thought they would have tried Whitney Merciless a little bit more on him and get him in space and see how he handles the speed. Because anyone who turns on film now is going to know that if you're going to run downhill into the middle of Cam Robinson's body, he's going to stone you and he's going to stop you. He's a physical player. Now, I'm not saying he can't move. He's a great athlete. But that'll be the next evolution of his game where he can become a truly dominant all-around football player, because when it comes to the power game and the physicality, what I saw on Sunday – was very impressive. And what you hope for now, and this is what every young player has to learn, and Jeff, you know this as well as I do, is how to do it week in and week out. Because doing it one Sunday, while it's great and it was fun to watch, and that's why a lot of people said he was the best offensive lineman in the draft, even though he went in the second round, to be a pro and to be considered one of the best, it's the consistency. And so that's the next challenge for Cam Robinson. It'll be another great test. Tennessee's defense, I haven't watched them yet and studied them in depth yet, but knowing who they are a big physical and a good defense, and it'll be another great test. And I look forward to watching him. He is fun for me as an offensive lineman to watch because I like how he plays the game.
Yeah, that's
saying something.
A pretty strong statement because, you know, Tony is like Mr.
He's pretty good.
Bad attitude guy when it comes to talking about left tackles. But that's the truth.
I'm fair.
No, my statement was fair there. He's not very fair at all. He's very hard on tackles. But, you know, when you brought up you were kind of surprised that Merciless didn't line up against him. You know, look, the best position for J.J. Watt is left end and left defensive tackle. The best spot for Merciless is as a right defensive end.
That's right.
Clowney's best position probably is stand up working on the inside because he can make guys miss.
And they didn't do that, Jeff.
And
they
didn't
do
it. And me and Tony were fully expecting that out of the Texans' defense. But here's the thing. You have a new defensive coordinator in Mike Vrabel, and Romeo Crennel is on staff as assistant head coach. Was Mike Vrabel trying to be too cute or outsmart the opponent instead of, you know, because, look, the best coaches on the planet are the ones that put players in the position to do what they do best. It's not a matter of outsmarting the opponent because very rarely can you do that. So I was very surprised. And maybe the next time they'll listen to what me and Tony said.
Well, I've always thought, Jeff, against some of the best defenses I've ever played against and that I've seen, is when you have really good players, you even simplify it more and just let them go because they can win one-on-one matchups. You don't have to trick people and give a lot of different fronts and looks and do all those things. And when you maybe are void in a certain area, you have to kind of try to trick the offense. But when you have the talent that Texans front has, which I believe is pretty good. Now, I'm not sure J.J. Watt's the same J.J. Watt we're used to. I'm interested to see that tonight. I'm just surprised they didn't just line up and said, we're going to come. We're going to show you where we're lining up, and we just think we're better than you. Now, I still think they would have lost because I think the offensive line beat them in one-on-one matchups the entire day.
Beat them in the run game. Beat them across the line, too, not just at left
beat
tackle.
Beat them every play. It was remarkable. It was a dominating effort. You rush against for 155 against that front, and your quarterback is never really harassed. He got hit hard on one blitz by Cole, the rookie, undrafted rookie who came in for Cushing. But outside that, Blake Bortles was clean all night.
Yeah, no sacks in the game.
Let me say this now. I mean, the offensive line did good, but Blake also did. He showed what he has had, for a couple of years now. The pocket presence that he had. When me and Tony made the point during the broadcast, there was one to where there was a little bit of pressure coming. I can't remember who got it, Tony, but it was against Parnell.
It was actually Clowney. It was down on one of them. I think Jeff, you're talking about is there was a little bit inside pressure. And he bounced it out and started scrambling to the right.
Okay, well, that was one. But then the other one, he had outside pressure, and he steps up and then goes out to his right. And
that's right.
So Blake did a good job.
That was the crossing route. Yep, that was the crossing route he hit Hearns on.
Yep. So he did a good job, too, That's the one thing I think, when people were going back to that conversation about the quarterback battle, that, look, Blake's got pocket presence, and he's got mobility, and that's not what Chad Henne was going to give you.
That's right.
Hey, I'll be the first to tell you as an offensive lineman, the best thing that can happen is to have a quarterback who's great in the pocket and knows when to step up,
mm-hmm.
because he helps you so much. He avoids sacks, not by scrambling as much, but by the slight movements and good footwork and buying time and understanding, not seeing the pressure, because the great ones don't see it. I don't care where it comes from. They don't see it. They feel it. And I think Blake has that knack. For all his faults, and I thought he played very well, I thought he threw the ball well, maybe one or two passes, but that's every quarterback in the NFL. It's never going to be perfect. I thought he played well, and he was a big part of that win.
Let's come back and flip it around. Speaking of quarterbacks that can move, Marcus Mariota is the task this week for the Jaguars defense after a record-breaking performance last week for this Jaguars D. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Yeah, that's pretty dope. Yeah, I liked it a lot. You know, hopefully we can keep it going. You know, like I said, it doesn't mean anything, though, if you don't go out there and produce the next time. You know, you're only as good as your latest memory. So, yeah, it's week in and week out. You got to go ahead and make it happen.
Let's go ask Campbell. When asked if he liked the Saxonville reference for this Jaguars team, the Twitter handle was, or the Twitter name was renamed Saxonville, hashtag Saxonville, after the 10-sack performance last week in Houston. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loglin, Tony Boselli, Jaguars Thursday.
And Calais, AFC Defensive Player of the Week.
Yes.
By the way, we got Tony up, right?
Tony's here.
Yes.
Tony, I got to tell you, one of the kind of, you know, with all the seriousness of Hurricane Irma, Telvin Smith had a hilarious line. He was asked about the hurricane and its effect, and he said, look, he said, I'm an FSU guy, so hurricanes don't affect me too much.
Oh, wow. A little college football smack, eh?
I like it.
That was cool.
Wow. It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It was cool.
Wow, there you have it. So this week, 10 sack day last week in Houston. A lot of those against Tom Savage, who, let's say he's not a mobile quarterback, to be nice.
I told you that before the game,
yeah,
JP.
You did. You weren't lying.
Nope.
Four were against Deshaun Watson. I mean, a four-sack day.
That's true.
And for a whole game is a nice day for a defensive line.
Can you imagine what it would have been if Tom Savage had stayed in there?
He might not have made it through the game.
It might have been 12, 12-13.
Yeah, it could have been.
Yeah, but Jeff, watch that tape, and I agree. I mean, Savage is not mobile. But it wasn't like he was holding it too long. He wasn't the problem. There was nobody getting open. And those tackles, Lamb and Giacomini, were awful. And then Cifullo couldn't block anybody. I mean, so it was like the two tackles in the left guard were just atrocious. I mean, neither quarterback had a chance back there. I don't care how mobile you were. Now, Deshaun bought some time because of his athletic ability. He had some nice runs, but – boy, watching that tape again, I wasn't sure watching the game, but watching the tape, man, that offensive line was atrocious.
It was bad.
This week, the offensive line is a bit of an upgrade in Tennessee. Who do you like better? Conklin or Lewan?
I like Lewan.
Really?
I've told Jeff from the beginning, since he was a rookie, and I think Jeff's come to my way of thinking a little bit, that Taylor Lewan is one of the better left tackles in football. He's physical. He run blocks well. He's a good pass blocker. He brings edge to that unit. I just think he's a very good player. Jack Conklin is a big body, right tackle, physical. He uses his size and angles to pass protect. He's not a great athlete. I think you can get his feet mixed up, and I think you can win against him in the pass game, but he's going to maul you in the run game. Both are very good players, but I like Taylor Lewan a little bit better.
Yeah, he's a little more athletic, but Conklin, he's got the ability to anchor a little bit better, have a little bit more power. You know, but I'm kind of surprised, Tony. I mean, you love Conklin. I mean, but, you know,
I think he's a good player.
What's not to
don't
like out
wrong.
Of both of these guys? I mean, they're very, very good football players. And probably
we're splitting hairs.
I mean, you know what? Is there a better tackle tandem in the league than these two guys right now? I don't think so.
Yeah, off the top of my head, Jeff, no, I think you're right. I think they're really good, and I think you look at the entire offensive line with Josh Klein, Ben Jones, and Quentin Spain. They're a good unit all around.
Yeah, I think the guys on the inside they're solid.
No, they're okay, yeah. But I'm just saying as a unit they play well. They're well coached. Russ Grimm's their offensive line coach. They're a physical, nasty group. They're going to run the ball. One of the best. I think they were second or third in rushing last year in the NFL. Good play action pass. They can move the pocket because of Mariota. It's a good group. It's a good offense. It's not an explosive offense from the standpoint of how you think about it usually, but it's one of those offenses that if the run game gets rolling, boy, you're in trouble because they can do so many things off of it.
Well, and I think one of the reasons why their run game hasn't gotten rolling, because look, the Oakland Raiders, who they played last week, they're not, you know, dominant up front. That's always been kind of their weakness in Oakland, has been the guys in the middle. And I thought that DeMarco Murray didn't play a very good game against the Raiders. I thought he was hesitant. I thought he was tippy-toeing. He was hesitant once he got out in the open field instead of just decisively hitting things and using his speed. Tony, when you watch the tape, which I know you've been busy preparing for the Thursday night game, but tell me if I'm wrong that Derrick Henry was the better running back in that game and that DeMarco Murray should be the backup.
Yeah. Well, this is what you got to remember now about DeMarco Murray. He had 3 years ago a ton of carries for the Cowboys. Then he goes to the Eagles, had an average year, and then he had a bunch of carries last year again. And, I mean, how old is DeMarco Murray? He's,
seventh year.
Yeah.
Seventh year.
Yeah, so he's 29 years back. Old.
Yeah. You know what it reminded me of, Tony?
Got a lot of tread on the tires. Yep.
It reminded me of watching Alabama back in the day when they had Derrick Henry and T.J. Yeldon. And T.J., he was the starter. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then Derrick Henry would come in and get some reps. And I remember watching it going, why do they got that T.J. guy in a game when they should have Derrick Henry in the game, you know, more than that? You know, not saying anything bad about, you know, to T.J. Yeldon. It's just that's how good Derrick Henry can be.
It's the eye test at times.
Yes.
So we'll see what happens in the run game. You know Mike Mularkey wants to get back to
well,
it.
Well, and let me say, Tony talked about play action. And, Tony, when you get a chance, you'll see Corey Davis, which was their wide receiver that they drafted fifth overall.
Western Michigan.
He is a tremendous talent. He's got, you know, deep speed. He's got run after the catch ability. He's got size and leaping ability. In my opinion, he was the best wide receiver in the draft. And the San Diego Chargers, I believe, drafted Mike Williams ahead of him, which was stupid. I mean, dumb. Anybody can watch the college tape of Mike Williams, who played at Clemson, that got no separation from anybody, and watch Corey Davis, and how anybody could have come up. Who's the general manager in San Diego, well, L.A. Chargers now? Is it Telesco?
I have no idea.
Telesco?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
How he came away with thinking that Williams is better than Corey Davis is beyond me.
He should be fired for that.
Whoa. Calling for firings already.
Are we firing people already?
It's week two. I'm just saying that Tony, you're an offensive lineman, so you have no understanding about the passing game.
Just as much as you do.
You could watch the tape of Corey Davis and Williams and make the decision that it's a no-brainer that Corey Davis is the guy.
Mike Williams was the guy who used his size and overwhelmed people. You know, much like a Mike Williams 10 years ago for USC that was a great college receiver but couldn't create the separation in the pro game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, stand by. Tony, we'll be back with you in just a moment in Cincinnati. Logs will join you in just a moment. We have a special conversation now from Baptist Health. Dr. Ricardo Hanel from Baptist Health. It's stroke awareness, and we'll talk about some symptoms. Doctor, good evening. How are you?
Hey, good evening, guys.
Thanks for coming on with us tonight. Part of the game this week here at Everbank Field is talking about stroke awareness. What are some of the signs of that? And, you know, how do you know you're going to, if you're having a stroke, what are some of those things you look for?
Yeah, so first of all, thank you for having me, and God bless Jacksonville, everybody that is recovering from Irma. Stay put to have a whole community behind you guys. Stroke symptoms typically are sudden onset of facial problems, arm problems, speech problems. To make it easy for people to remember, we typically say use the acronym FAST, F for face, A for arm, S for speech. And if you have any sudden problem with any of these systems, just act fast, dial 911, because a stroke is preventable, a stroke is treatable. If you get to the right place at the right time, we can save you. So you got to make sure you're aware that the stroke is treatable, recognize the symptoms, and act fast.
Yeah, that's the thing, because it is treatable. It is you can see this thing coming and not get to the worst part of the stroke.
Right? Yeah, and Doc, my question is this: what happens physically with a stroke? What causes a stroke?
So we have two types of stroke. I always like to simplify this to our people. We're like plumbers of the brain, and think about the brain vessels as pipes. You can have a clogged pipe, what we call ischemic stroke, or a burst pipe, like a brain aneurysm or bleeding on the brain. So junk food, bad diet, high blood pressure, diabetes, cigarettes, obesity, all those things together, the same things that are bad for the heart vessels are bad for the brain vessels, and those things together over time can lead to a stroke.
Doctor, once you have a stroke, if you get there and the symptoms are shown and you go in, what's the recovery? How do you get back on track?
So the quicker you get to help, that is so critical to learn how to recognize the symptoms and dial 911. Our EMS folks here in Jacksonville and region are superb. They're all trained to help you. So if you think you could be having a stroke, don't hesitate. Dial 911. They will take you to the right place at the right time, and then your chance is the best of recovering from that. We've never been better than we are in 2017 to help people with strokes. So you got to get to the right place at the right time. So we'll give you the best chance to get you back to your normal life.
Neurosurgeon Dr. Ricardo Hanel from Baptist Health. We're going to see you at the game this Sunday?
Yes, sir. Go Jags.
No doubt. Hey, thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
There he is, Dr. Ricardo Hanel from Baptist Health. We'll come back. Tony Boselli will come get beaten like a drum in picks when we return. You two logs, don't laugh.
Yeah, I didn't do so good.
You're
last
going
week.
Down again for
I'm
a second
at the bottom
week
of the barrel. I need to seek some expert help here.
PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit priproductions.com. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
JP Shatter, Jeff Lagerman in Jacksonville from the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Cincinnati, Ohio, the site for Thursday Night Football tonight. The Bengals and the Houston Texans. Tony Boselli is there for Westwood One Radio. We're dialed into the broadcast booth there. And, hey, it's going to be this is a short, obviously a short week for both teams, but for the Houston Texans, the team that was so beat up physically last week, they lost Cushing for 10 games.
Suspension.
For performance-enhancing substances. They've got questions at quarterback, who's going to play. This is not a good look for the Texans this week, Tony.
No. what do you say? I mean, they played a division rival that they've pretty much dominated in recent memory and got it handed to them by the Jaguars. And not just on the scoreboard, but in every aspect of it. They were beat up physically. Their proud defense had the ball run right down their throats. Kind of what they hang their hat on, their identity of this team is their defense. It's J.J. Watt. It's you know, big plays and havoc and dominating opposing offensive lines. And they got beat at their own game. And for that to happen, that makes you question a little bit, you know, who you are and what's your identity. And on the other side of the ball, you mentioned it, J.P., it hasn't been officially reported, but they're going to go with Deshaun Watson. And you're going to put a rookie quarterback back there behind one of the worst offensive lines I've seen in a long time.
What are they going to do from
– It's not like you have one guy who's a problem, who's a liability that you can protect.
What are they going to do, Tony, from a roster standpoint of having enough guys active for the game because of the injury report was so lengthy this week? Have you heard anything yet?
No, they signed Evan Bayless. He's going to be their only tight end that's active. They got Jalen Strong back from the suspension. Incredible. So he'll be outside wide receiver. You know, they're going to start Zach Cunningham for Cushing. You're limited of what you can do, Jeff, because of the short week. And so it's trying to get your guys ready. You're going to have to be limited in formations because of the one tight end. Now you can do some things with Prosh, the fullback, and use him in some H-back situations. I'm sure they'll do that so they can technically be in 12 personnel. But you're going to be limited. I think what you have to do is, if you're Bill O'Brien and this Houston Texans team, I would actually go against what maybe everyone thinks, because you got to help the offensive line. Well, I don't think you have the personnel to help them by going max protect like you would like, because Bayless is a pass-catching guy, not a big individual for the tight end position. So I think you spread them out, that you go 4 and 5 wides, even empty at times, and get the quick passing game going. And what that does for a young quarterback, it defines the secondary look. It makes you declare if you're going to blitz or not. and then you do a quick passing game and get the ball out of his hands. And then when you do pass, you better get the run going and do it off play action and make it easier for this young quarterback. Because if you get in third and long situations and you're behind the chains with the group that they have out there protecting Deshaun Watson, it's going to be a long day because the Cincinnati Bengals have guys who can rush the passer.
It's going to be it's going to be a long day for Deshaun Watson.
I mean, tell me who's going to block Geno Atkins tonight.
Carlos Dunlap. And here's the other thing. Play action? How are you going to run play action when you don't have any kind of tight end who's been there for more than a couple days? I mean, you just can't, you know?
No, it's going to be hard, Jeff. I mean, but the question is, how are you going to run the ball? Because
Bayless
isn't a big guy.
I think they're going to have a hard time running the football. And look, I wasn't a big fan of Deshaun Watson coming out. And from watching him in preseason and watching his performance last week, I think he has accuracy issues. And I'm not very impressed with him.
I'd have accuracy issues, too, if that offensive line was blocking for me.
Well, I mean, when he doesn't have pressure, he had accuracy issues. And when he didn't have pressure in the preseason, he had accuracy issues. You know, but there's one thing you don't question is that he's athletic, and he can buy more time in the pocket or outside the pocket than Tom Savage.
You know who else has issues in this game? The Cincinnati Bengals. They haven't scored a point yet this season.
Yeah,
they turned five turnovers last
JP,
week.
They turned the ball over a ton. They moved the ball up and down the field, and Big Red didn't have his best game. The Bengals' defense didn't have a great game against really kind of an average offense and Baltimore's offense. And so I think they're going to play much better tonight. I think the Bengals are going to win.
And it was a little bit deceiving. So you never know what you're going to get when you just read the clips and kind of see the box score. So you turn on the tape of that game for the Bengals, and two of the interceptions were tip balls. A couple of the turnovers came deep in the red zone. Another was a sack fumble strip, not Andy Dalton's fault, as they're trying to score. What they didn't do very well is run the ball, and they got away from it, and they need to pick who their back's going to be. Is it going to be Jeremy Hill? Is it going to be Joe Mixon? Is it going to be Giovanni Bernard? One of those guys, I mean, two of those three are the guys you want to go with, but exchanging all three throughout the game, it's hard for anyone to get in a rhythm. And then defensively, they only gave up 20 points, and a couple of those were on really short fields, and one was a huge play, a slant where the corner took a bad angle and put him in a bad space. So defensively, they are okay. They weren't great. They didn't stop the run like they need to. But if you look at the matchup tonight, you got Carlos Dunlap, Geno Atkins. We talked about them. You know, they're not going to be able to be blocked. Now, the question for the Bengals is you got two tackles in Obwehi and Fisher.
They're young.
They're young players that really, really struggled last week, and they were part of the problem. Obwehi gave up two sacks. One was a sack fumble and a lot of pressure. And so we could see a game like we did Christmas Eve last year where it was 12-10. It was a 12-10 football game that the Texans kind of snuck out and got the win. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's not a lot of offense tonight.
I watched the film of the Bengals and the Ravens to get kind of a head start on next week, you know, with the Baltimore Ravens game over in London. And Tony's dead on the money, the two tackles that the Bengals have. They're raw. You know, they're young. And also on the flip side of that, Tony, you talked about Geno Atkins. Geno Atkins was lined up against Marshall Yanda, who's considered, you know, for many years to be one of the better guards in the National Football League. And Geno Atkins,
he slipped a little bit, Jeff.
He really has, Tony. You know, but it's easy to make it look like he slipped because it's Geno Atkins. But Geno Atkins, when he gets a one-on-one situation, he can be unblockable at times. He's a fantastic player. And imagine Geno Atkins, because is the normal starting right guard for the Texans playing Allen?
No, Jeff Allen's out, so Greg Mance, who's the backup center, is going to start for him, which forces Siafulu to stay at left guard, which is not really what you want out there either.
Uh-oh.
Oh, dear. What's the league record for sacks allowed in two games?
Well, I'm just telling you right now, I think Mance is better than Siafulu.
Yeah, but he's not better than Allen, the guy he's replacing. That's the problem.
I know, but you were hoping that you could have Mance and Allen out there. Now you're going to have Mance and Siafulu. It's not good.
All right, let's get to the results of last week. We'll get to the picks, and then we'll get Tony out of here. So let's get to the results of last week. And me and Tony had a pretty good week. 11-5 last week. Jeff, not so good. 9-6.
Yeah.
How are we 11-5 and he was 9-6?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, well, 11-4.
I made a mistake, okay? I picked some teams that I was, you know, kind of emotionally attached to, and I got to take the emotion out of it, Tony.
Okay, well, so
it sounds like an excuse to me.
Yeah, it really does. Let's start off with the picks this week, then, and start off with tonight's game: Texans, Bengals.
Can we just move on?
Yes.
You're taking the Bengals too, JP?
JP, take, yeah, it's a sweep. No.
Take the Texans.
Quit telling me who to take. No, I'm not taking the Texans. I watched last week's game.
Okay.
In an undisclosed location. Browns and the Ravens. I'm going Ravens.
Go ahead, Tony.
I got the Ravens. Yeah, I mean, come on.
I'm going upset special.
Ooh.
Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
That's
no,
why,
I'm kidding.
That's
Baltimore.
Why you're 9-5 or 9-6.
Baltimore, I'm not.
The Bills-Panthers, both teams won last week.
And Panthers.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to take Panthers.
I think that's a clean sweep for us. Cardinals at the Colts. Cardinals all day for Colts.
For you. Not have no chance.
Cardinals,
yes. It's an easy one.
Come on. Of course. Eagles-Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Yep, me too. Kansas City.
Yeah, I'll take the Chiefs.
That's a sweep. Patriots-Saints. Both teams are 0-1. What's going on?
Pats.
You think they're coming back, Tom?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident.
I'm taking the Saints. Are you really?
The Saints are not very good.
I know, but I'm taking them.
Okay, I'm going New England. Vikings-Steelers. Good matchup.
I'm taking Minnesota.
It's in Pittsburgh. I'll take Pittsburgh.
I got Steelers.
You got Minnesota there, Lags?
Yep.
Okay. Bears-Buccaneers. Bucks' first game of the season.
Buccaneers.
Bucks.
Okay, Tampa Bay sweep. Dolphins first game.
Well, hey, first of all, JP, you basically picked every person I picked.
No.
I know I'm good at this, but you don't have to copy me every time.
Well, I've picked first sometimes, and you copy me like three times.
Only on the obvious ones. You
only picked seven games so far. You've copied me three times. Dolphins first game of the year. They're in L.A. against the Chargers.
In the mini stadium.
I'm going Dolphins. It's been a rough week.
Chargers.
I think you're going to get it done.
Chargers.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Tony on this one. Chargers.
Okay, L.A. I'm going Miami. Jets at the Raiders.
Raiders.
Yep. Oakland all the way across. Cowboys-Broncos in Denver. Cowboys for me. Gentlemen.
That's a great game.
Yeah, that's a good game. Really good game. I will take Dallas.
Denver.
Okay, you didn't copy me that time, Tony. Redskins at the Rams in the Coliseum.
Rams.
Okay, I'm going Redskins on the road, going across country.
I'm with you, JP, Redskins. Now, you know, I'll stick with that.
49ers-Seahawks.
Seattle.
Yeah, I'll go Seattle, I think.
Seattle all the way. Sunday Night Football, Packers-Falcons. Good game.
I'm picking the Packers.
Where's the game?
In Atlanta. I'm going Atlanta.
I'll go Falcons.
Yep. And then Monday Night Football, the Lions in New York against Big Blue, the Giants. Lions for me.
I'm taking
we'll
the
go
Giants.
Giants.
Okay, New York Giants. The picks are in.
Who'd you take on that last game, Tony?
Giants.
We'll see the results next week. Logs will fall further into last place than he already is.
I might.
Tony, have a great call tonight in Cincinnati and eat some Skyline before you come back.
Yeah, I'm ready to get home, boys.
I'm sure you are, and we'll see you soon this weekend. Tony Vaselli with Westwood One Radio tonight. He has the call of the Thursday night football game, the Texans and the Bengals. Jeff, you and I will return. We'll look around the National Football
Let's
League
do it.
And do one final preview of this Sunday's game at Everbank Field. The Jags and the Titans coming up in Week 2. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Jaguars Thursday rolls along. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli's out of here getting ready for Thursday night football.
I'm getting ready for Thursday night football.
You going to watch it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to watch it because, you know, it's a division team in the Houston Texans, Cincinnati Bengals. Want to see how they handle it. You know, 1 week after getting their – well, not even a full week, but a few days after getting their nose rubbed into the field of their own place, want to see how they react. Want to see how Deshaun Watson plays.
I think I might watch it on Amazon Prime. I think it's the debut of that tonight. It used to be on Twitter last year, right? They changed it over, the Amazon Prime people.
So why don't you just watch it on your TV?
Well, is it over-the-air TV or is it cable TV?
Oh, I don't know.
Network? If it's on the network, I can't. I only have over-the-air
TV. Oh, you don't have NFL Network. Okay.
That's right. It's one of those. So,
I've got it.
But I do have it, Amazon Prime.
Okay, well, good.
So watch don't your, judge me.
Watch it. No, I'm not judging you, JP.
You might have been.
No, I'm not Baselli. I'm not going to judge you
at all. Let me tell you.
I'm not going to judge you, JP.
It's okay. Let's go around the National Football League.
Where are we going?
Well, we're going back down to Houston. Brian Cushing, 10 games, linebacker, Texans, performance enhancers.
I would like to say I'm surprised, but I'm not. I mean, it's not his first time. The one thing that I will say about Brian Cushing over the last couple of years, it looks like he's been slowing down. And anytime an athlete starts to slow down, they want to find a way to get faster.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what he did. Well, that's what he did.
Yeah.
So, look, he's been around long enough to know, what you can and can't do, and shame on him. He's not a young player.
Odell Beckham Jr. says his ankle could be a 6 to 8 week injury. Monday night will be the 4 week mark since the ankle injury.
Yeah, it could be make him into like a soap opera. There's always drama around Odell Beckham, and it would be nice to get to someday at some point in the future to where there is no drama. All we're talking about is him on the field. Yeah, but unfortunately, that's kind of who he is.
When he's on the field, it was pretty good too.
No, he's fantastic.
I deal with the soap opera.
Over the years, Eli has talked to him about cutting out some of the stuff on the periphery, and he hasn't been able to do that. He hasn't done it yet, and he needs to.
Alex Smith says he knows that he'll likely be playing somewhere else next year. That was in a preseason interview, but not if he keeps playing like this. You kidding me? What he did last week was unbelievable in New England to get it started this season. The official statistics in week one for Alex Smith, 28 of 35, 368 yards, 4 touchdowns at Gillette Stadium in New England.
Against a defense that really is not very good. We kind of gave the Patriots a pass in the preseason when we're looking at them because they're the Patriots. I mean, defending Super Bowl champions. But, if that team doesn't have Tom Brady, they would struggle. Defensively, they don't have a lot of talent. I mean, they really don't.
Pass rush, we saw that firsthand.
They really don't.
Practice sessions.
The one thing they were able to do, though, is they were able to keep opponents scoring down. But, I mean, if you looked at them man-to-man, but for some reason, they played better collectively as a group instead of, looking at them individually. But the way they played against Kansas City was bad. And Kansas City's got a good football team now.
Yeah, they do.
Got a good football team, and they've got a young quarterback kind of waiting in the wings. The comments that Alex Smith had in the preseason, it's kind of newsy now, but at the same token, is it really?
It's not groundbreaking.
No. Is he wrong?
No, probably not.
Might not be, right?
No.
I mean, they drafted a young guy, gave up a ton of draft picks. Sure. He's going to be the future. So be it. But I don't think, that there needs to be a big deal made out of what Alex Smith said.
But if he keeps playing like this, he'll be slinging it for somebody.
For somebody. And he's going to make a lot of money.
You dang right he is.
Yeah, he's a good quarterback.
Adrian Peterson in New Orleans last week on the sideline during the 29-19 loss to his former team, the Minnesota Vikings, had a couple of little words for Sean Payton. Payton kind of looked back at him there. A little. He only ran the ball 6 times for 18 yards in the game. He handed an AP 6 times in a game.
Adrian Peterson needs to stay in his lane. He thinks that he's back in Minnesota to where, he is – great player back in those days, but the reality is, look, when coaches aren't stupid. You know, they're not going to take a great player and leave him on the sideline so that he cannot make a play. If Adrian Peterson wants more reps, take the reps away from Ingram and whoever else it may be.
Or Breeze. Get the ball out of Breeze's
yes.
hands. Right.
So, and what was the score of that game?
29-19.
Okay, I picked it wrong. Okay, I lost that game. I had the Saints.
Me too.
And the reality of it is that in a game like that, you've got to throw the ball. And Adrian Peterson has never proven to be a third down back. So, until the score is better and he runs better early in the game to make that game closer, he's going to be taken out of the game. And what he did on the sideline with Sean Payton was kind of expressing his displeasure, which is apparently, pretty obviously, that's what he was doing, totally uncalled for.
It was 16-6 at halftime and then 19-6 early in the third quarter before the
Saints. JP, who's going to win that battle? Sean Payton or Adrian Peterson?
Yeah, come on, of course. You know that.
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
they have some other running backs in New Orleans, too, if he doesn't want to be around.
Exactly.
Ingram and Kamara, the new guy and all that. So,
yep.
And and Drew Brees throwing the ball around, too. I'd rather take my chances with that.
So
there you have it. A look around briefly around the National Football League. The Jaguars and the Titans coming up Sunday, Everbank Field, week two, the home opener. The only game at Everbank Field for a little while. So get here this Sunday before the Jags go away for a bit.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I know that there's probably a lot of people that are looking forward to kind of maybe taking a little bit of a break. And hopefully people have their power back to where they can watch the game if they can't make it to the game. And, kudos to Shad Khan and the Jaguars organization for doing what they did, the $1 million donation to the First Coast Relief Fund, also the tickets to the first responders, police, fire department, et cetera. Great gesture. And I personally, I mentioned this during the Doug Marrone show, I want to send a big thank you out to the linemen. They're the ones that are working hard to restore the power for everybody in our area and across the state. And some of them aren't even from here. They've come from all other places to help out the state of Florida and the city of Jacksonville. And, great job by them. You know, in fact, who had that song? The lineman song.
Wichita
lineman. Glenn Campbell. If we could play a little Glenn Campbell at some point in the pregame show.
We'll get on that.
For the linemen that have been working so hard, that would be nice.
We had a chance yesterday, Logs, to go around with the roar of the Jaguars in Jacksonville to a few different places downtown. First responders, fire station number 4, and dropped off some of the tickets for the first responders there. The emergency operations center, saw some of the JSO there, went to Baptist Hospital, the operations guys there who kept the floodwaters out of the basement where the generators were. If it gets in there at all, I mean, it's 10 feet of water above where the generators were outside.
Wow.
They were down in the basement, got everybody out, and kept them dry and kept the hospital running. American Red Cross stopped by. It's really cool to see. A lot of those people are still out working and working long shifts even now, yesterday, and that'll continue for the next few days.
Well, a lot of those people are working long shifts when – they could be at home tending to cleaning up their yard, debris, getting their house back in order, and you know that's the sacrifice that you make when you take a job like that. And you know, big thank you from all of us to all of them.
You know what I just realized? I forgot that we didn't pick the Jaguars game last segment.
Jaguars. I mean, go ahead, take the Titans, JP. Go ahead.
I can't now, no way, because last week they had to prove it to me. You know, I backed off that early pick of them last week, and I said, prove it to me, and I think they did.
Well, I can tell you one thing.
If you're going to play like that, you can't pick against them.
This is going to be kind of some old-fashioned football. Physical, both teams very physical. Both teams want to run the football. Tony was right. It might be an hour-and-a-half game. I don't want to go that far, but it's going to be a shorter game because there won't be a whole lot of error in the football. But this is an important game. You know, you can send the Titans down to 0-2. You can be 2-0 and your wins are in the division. That would be huge.
That'd be something that hasn't happened in a long time. 06, the last time the Jaguars started 2-0.
And I got a prediction.
Okay.
Allen Hurns and Marquise Lee have big days.
Even in a running type of day.
I do. I think they're going to have some big plays in this ball game. And I love you, Joe.
Here's the lineman.
Little Glenn Campbell to close out the show.
I am a lineman for the county.
We appreciate all you men and women out there getting us back on and lit up here in the Jacksonville area. Well done, Logs. We'll talk to you this weekend for Tony Baselli, Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato, JP Shadrick. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
I hear you singing in the wire. I can hear you through the wine. And the Wichita line.